content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio appreciates the support from our sponsors. Make sure you check out these great companies. Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based protein. Go to sunwarrior.com and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora and new Immuniflora. Learn more at enviromedica.com. Castor and Pollux, extraordinary pet food that has set the new standard of purposeful pet food. Paleo Magazine is now all digital, so you can go to paleomagazine.com and subscribe. Also, the Wellbeing Journal, combining physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and social aspects of health. VegWorld Magazine. Sign up and get a free online subscription at VegWorldMag.com. The International Society of Sports Nutrition, the only nonprofit academic society dedicated to sports nutrition and supplementation. Learn more at SportsNutritionSociety.org. And Thorne Research, redefining what it means to be well and pushing the limits of human potential. Go to the sponsor page at OneLifeRadio.com for links and listener discounts. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
You're in the right place. Oh my gosh. Hello, everyone. Welcome to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California. And you know, there's nothing like live radio, live anything, right?
Oh, yeah. It's always fun. It keeps you on your toes.
Well, you know, I think people crave live, too, especially in today's world where everything is cleaned up and pre-recorded. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Everything you see is touched up. And so live radio is truly magical. That's how I feel.
Yes, it is. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes to make it happen that people don't see. And yeah, no, it's great.
Yeah, no, I love it. And I love Fridays. Who doesn't? So TGIF, mm-hmm. Everyone, it's a fabulous Friday here at One Life Radio, brought to you by Castor and Pollux, which is a company that I've used for years. And they are our official pet sponsor of One Life Radio. And we always appreciate what they do and helping us get the word out with great animal lovers like Maura Davies, who's first up on the show today. Before I get to Maura, I want to tell everyone at the half, we're going to be talking with Ryan Kane again. He is amazing. He is the president of the Spiro Group and the president and CEO of Nashville Recovery Center. We're going to be talking about tips for living in recovery from addiction. A lot of people have addictions in this world, and we're here to talk about it today on One Life Radio. But Maura Davies is with us. I'm so glad to have her back. She is the vice president for marketing and communications at the SPCA of Texas. That's the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. Their website is simply spca.org. Or on Instagram at SPCA Texas or Facebook SPCA of Texas page. That's a lot of words, right?
It is. Oh my gosh. SPCA of Texas page makes me sad because we used to have just SPCA of Texas. It's like, come on, Facebook. But we started on Facebook right when Facebook was an infant. And when they changed how we were supposed to appear, whether it was, I forget, it's been too long now, it's been since like 06 or 07.
Yeah.
We were like a page or a part, something. When they switched over to the kind of page that we have now, they wouldn't let us have our own SPCA of Texas because we started too early with Facebook. Thanks, Facebook.
Wow. Oh, well, yeah, no, social media is a very sore topic with me. You know, it's always been problematic. I think people are on it way too much. And yeah, I'm not a big fan of social media. It's almost like a necessary evil. I've many times thought about just shutting it down on the show because I don't know. I think when it started, maybe it had some good intention, but now it's become so volatile and just, I don't know. I don't like it. But anyway.
It's tough. I pine for the times when it was just all about the cats and the puppies and the little horses.
Yeah, I know, you know, and I have to tell you, so Maura, it's been a couple of weeks since we talked, I think, but, you know, I've had a couple of cats that have been in critical condition. And by the way, Butters is back in the studio with me right now, sitting at my feet for the second day in a row. But, you know, it's funny. So I noticed back a couple of weeks ago that he wasn't coming upstairs and coming into the studio with me, and he wasn't opening any doors because that's what he's famous for. When we sleep at night, Butters opens every door in the house. except the front one, because I have that one. I can lock that with a key, you know? And so, but anyway, so Marie, I had to take her back to the hospital this morning. She is gaining weight. She had a liver, something that happened to her liver and we don't know if it was stress related or it's genetic or whatever, but she is starting to recover. But having said that, it's just been a couple of weeks with a lot of money being spent and a lot of time and money being put into trying to get a couple of my animals healthy again. And while I was there this morning, a dear friend of mine he's the guy that gave me my dog, Charlie. He's the guy that found the three puppies about a year ago that Logan adopted one of them, and then two of her friends. They were three little Labrador puppies. It's this place in Mesquite, okay, that borderline Sunnyvale, where there's no lights and no cameras, and these people go and dump animals there at night. Well, this little one that we named Daisy that I met this morning for the first time, we're going to get her all fixed up. Maura, it would break your heart. She was beaten. She was whipped. I don't know with what. She's got red scars all over the top of her head and in her hind leg. She can't walk very well. She is the sweetest thing ever. And we're actually looking for a forever home for her. So if anyone out there listening can promise me in blood, they have to write it in blood, they'll never allow that animal ever get harmed again. But I would take her, but I have too many. As you know, I've got 21 animals and it's quite overwhelming sometimes. But little Daisy is looking for a home. She's off the street. And there's so many more out there like that, as you know well, Maura. And that's why it's so important that we do these Furbulous Fridays, brought to you by Castor and Pollux, with the SPCA and a lot of other, animal loving organizations out there, like the Texas Humane Legislation Network, really trying to protect animals every way that we can. And the best way to do that is to spay and neuter, right? And February is spay and neuter month. Yes. I know it's not February officially yet, but let's talk about this. So what are the medical benefits, Maura, of spaying and neutering dogs and cats?
Well, there are so many great reasons to spay and neuter your dogs and cats, but the main ones are for female pets, dogs and cats. They will very likely live a longer and healthier life. So spaying prevents uterine infections, breast tumors, which are malignant or cancerous in about 50% of dogs and 90% of cats.
Yeah.
So spaying your pet before her first heat can give you the best protection from those diseases.
Well,
and then on the boy side, the neutering a male dog or cat prevents testicular cancer and some prostate problems. So just like number one, that's big.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking of all these stories. I've been working so much with so many animals recently, my whole life, but these last 3 weeks, I forgot that we rescued a cat off the street last week. I think they named her Princess. We got her spayed immediately because she was probably already pregnant. We got her. I don't think she was. I mean, she may have been, but you know how that can happen, right? And so when you find a cat on the street, you really need to get them spayed and neutered right away. But, case in point, you were talking about mammary tumors. My dog, Susie, okay, is at the vet right now getting a mammary tumor removed. She was never spayed, and I'm going to wait to get her spayed in another month or so after she recovers from the mammary tumor. It's real. I mean, it does happen, and it's costly. It's $700 today for that operation, But I have to do it. I can't let her live with that kind of pain. And so it's so important that we take good care of our pets. They provide us with so much love, and just I don't know how would you describe it, best.
The only word I can use for just that wonderful special connection between people and pets, it's one of my favorite words in general. The word is ineffable, and it sounds vaguely like it's bad, but it's not. It means that it's something that we can't possibly know or truly ever understand, but it really is meant in a very positive connotation. So that love that pets give all of that massive amount they give back to us, it really is ineffable.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And Junior, you have a dog, don't you?
I do.
And what is her name? I keep forgetting.
Her name is Evie.
Yeah, that's it, Evie. Aww.
Yeah.
Evie. Okay, so do you feel that way about Evie? Does your family feel that way?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and it's funny because she's just a little 10-pound dog, and I've always been a big dog person. And, I probably love her more than everybody in the house. Like, I carry her around like a little baby. Yeah.
Aww.
I take her for walks, and you know, I got this my big.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I got my big burly beard, and then I got this little dog with me. So
that's so cute.
I love
it. Because Evie was starting to chub up, and you started taking her for walks, right?
Yeah,
how's it going?
Yeah, they're going good. She's down 2 pounds right now. So we were trying to get her down like 4 or 5. So
wow.
Yeah, so she was at 14. So we're trying to get her down to about 10. So, that's where they said she needs to be.
Well, so in a matter of weeks, she's already dropped 2 pounds just from walking with you?
Well, walking, and we stopped giving her table treats. Like we were giving, during quarantine, we were giving a little too much table food. So
yeah.
So
well,
she, you know.
Yeah,
or during the holidays, not quarantine. Sorry.
Yeah. No. Well, I think I don't think that's a big deal as long as you don't overdo it.
Well,
we
did. That's obviously.
Yeah.
You know.
Most vets will say no. Don't give them table scraps. What's your opinion, Maura?
You know, it's tough. Some pets, it's really difficult because if you give them one or two little things here and there, they're always there begging, and then you look in their sweet faces and you're like, oh, what's one more?
Mm-hmm.
So honestly, it may be one of those slippery slope things for the person more than the animal. Like a lot of animal training, it's training the humans, you know?
Yeah, no, it is. Well, you know, there's lots to know about pets, so I think we'll go for a quick break. When we come back, more coming up with Maura Davies. She is the Vice President for Marketing and Communications at the SPCA. Stay tuned, everyone. It's Furbulous Friday. We'll be right back.
In the car, so come on, let's ride to the liquor store around the corner. The boys say they want some gin and juice, but I really don't wanna be a buzz like I had last week. I must stay deep, cause talk is cheap. I like Angela, Pamela, Sandra, and Rita. And as I continue, you know they're getting sweeter. So what can I do? I really bag you, my lord. To me, flirting is just like a sport. Anything fly, it's all good. Let me definitely sing in the trumpet. A little bit of Monica in my life, a little bit of Erica by my side, a little bit of Rita's all I need, a little bit of Tina's what I see, a little bit of Sandra in the sun, a little bit of Mary all night long, a little bit of Jessica, here I am, a little bit of you makes me your man.
Follow us on social media at One Life Radio.
Love this song. This is one of my favorite songs by Van Morrison. Oh, everybody, welcome back to One Life Radio, and happy Furbulous Friday to everyone out there listening. We are live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Continuing on with Maura Davies from the SPCA of North Texas, we're talking about February is Spay and Neuter Month. So, you know, Maura, what are the behavioral benefits of spaying and neutering dogs and cats early?
Oh, man, there's a bunch. Oh, my gosh. So a big one for females is your spayed female won't go into heat, obviously. If her uterus is gone, she's not going to have heat. So while the cycles can vary, feline females usually go into heat 4 to 5 days every 3 weeks during breeding season. That is a lot.
Wow.
And, of course, they're going to be out there advertising, yelling loudly, hello, I'm over here. Come impregnate me.
Wow.
Well, yell and they'll... just they'll urinate sometimes all over the house. That's hard.
I literally have a peeing contest going on at my house because the dogs I got all were off the street. They were on the street, most of them, for years before they ever got neutered. And oh my goodness, and it's kind of crazy, but you know, you get used to it. You hose everything off. You know, it's just part of the game here at my house. But you know, when you were saying about taking the uterus out, I never thought about this. So do they take just the uterus, or do they take the tubes as well? So the dog, you know, like just like women, you know, females, do they just take the uterus and leave, or do they get a full hysterectomy?
A full hysterectomy. Everything comes out.
Huh. I wonder why don't they leave the tubes? So that they still, you know,
I would have to ask a veterinarian and get back with you on that. You know, it's a question I've never really asked. In
me
20
either.
Years, I've been working for the SPCA of Texas since June of 2001. I've never asked that question. Can you believe it?
Huh. Yeah, no, I haven't either. I've never thought about it until today, but I thought it was a good one, right?
Yeah.
So, okay. And so let's talk about this. So why does spaying or neutering your dogs and cats help you spend less money?
Yes. Well, this goes back to a couple of those behavioral benefits. Your dogs and cats are going to be less likely to roam, and then they might even be better behaved, but not necessarily, but especially neutered dogs might spray less also. But on the cost-effective side, that surgery is far less than having the cost of either caring for a litter of puppies or kittens than, like you were talking about, surgery to remove various types of tumors. Mm-hmm. Cancer treatment is incredibly expensive.
Oh, yeah. I don't recommend it, by the way, based on personal experience. I had a dog, Millie, once that I rescued off of Jim Miller Road down in the not-so-pleasant Grove. And at least it wasn't pleasant back then. There was a lot of armed robberies at night. But Millie got throat cancer. And we did radiation on her and chemotherapy. It was in the thousands and thousands of dollars. It didn't work, and it put her through a lot. So, I mean, that's just my personal experience with it. And it's a difficult decision to make. But what happened was she had a tumor in her throat, it was one of the worst times that I ever experienced as a pet owner. We had to put her down, but it was an emergency euthanasia because the tumor all of a sudden just took like a growth spurt and started to suffocate her. It was terrible. She didn't want to die. She knew what was happening. And I won't go into any more details because it was pretty brutal, but we had to put her down. Yeah, and the cancer treatment didn't work, and you know, she came off the streets down in Pleasant Grove, and she was bred every single cycle. She was a chow chow, and it was back when chows, you know, were very popular, and people, you know, wanted to make money selling puppies, which is so wrong, by the way, for people out there that thinking about doing that or are doing it. It's so wrong. We don't need any more animals on this earth until every homeless pet has a home. Would you agree, Maura?
You know, it's such an important thing to continue to get that information out there about spaying and neutering and why it's so important to prevent unwanted litters. And you're absolutely right. There are so many pets that need homes, not just the little cute puppies and kittens, but you know, an 8-year-old dog, a 12-year-old cat, little ones who may be a little have some bumps and bruises in their life, whether, you know, emotional or physical, and they're just as deserving of love and a home. Yeah. That's why the SPCA of Texas focuses on rehabilitation, both behavioral and medical. Our live release rate is over 95% for, gosh, more than a few years now. And it's important to us. We don't have time limits, space limits. This February, Spay Neuter Month, and actually the actual Spay Day this year is February 23rd. That's a Tuesday. But, you know, there's so many wonderful groups around the Metroplex and around the country that provide low-cost spay neuter. It's super easy to do. People can get out there and make a big difference for animals, for their animals, for other animals in the world. It's big. Just, it can be a little thing, and it can also be low-cost, but it's key to your pet's health and happiness.
Yeah, do you remember when we used to give away free spay and neuters every Friday back a few years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm going to do that in February. I'm going to give away a couple of spay and neuters. We'll put it out on social when we're going to do it. Probably do it on February 23rd and give away a couple because it's the right thing to do. You know, when I looked at that little dog this morning that came out of the same park that my boy Charlie did and Parker and Logan's dog Parker that she rescued, I looked at that little thing this morning and I said, I promise you, you will never be harmed again. What I gave the dog my word, no matter what I have to do, she will never experience harm again, not under my watch. And I wish you could have seen her. It was so sad to think that somebody is so messed up that they would beat that dog she had gouges in her head. Maura.
Oh, baby.
I mean, and couldn't walk. I just think they just beat the hell out of her. And it's just terrible to say that, but it makes me so upset. I had to look her in the eye this morning. I'm glad that my friend David has the heart that he did. He picked her up. He picks up dogs there all the time. And it's just a problem. It's a problem because there's too many in the first place, right? Because people don't spay and neuter.
Well, it's a tough conundrum, right? So we're running out of time, but there are a lot of really misconceptions out there about spaying and neutering. And, you know, it can be everything that people have heard. Well, you know, some people, especially a bunch of dudes out there, might think it's too macho that we can't neuter our male dog. Mm-hmm. Something that is more difficult for people because they're mean or they're bad. the shift that the SPCA of Texas has really taken in the last many years is just listening to people, meeting them where they are, and saying, hey, look, these are valuable services. We provide them in certain areas. We're able to provide, for example, Southern Dallas, we're able to provide free spays and neuters to dogs that belong to people who live in Southern Dallas, to make those services widely available for underserved areas, for families who, there's so many folks who love their pets and so many folks who just, you know, we got to meet people where they are, right? So having that conversation over and over again and being compassionate and offering these services, being a part of the community, it's also important to get to a place where as a community we can help all of our pets together. And really, it's a world-changing kind of thing. So if I sound like super geeked up about it, because it's pretty cool.
No, I think it's wonderful, the work that you guys do. There's so many organizations out there. I give a shout out to Patty Dawson with Dallas Dogger too. She's in the trenches. Like, she's really in the trenches. And I used to be in the trenches too, you know. Right now I don't see as many dogs as I used to, or cats, but I never go by an animal without trying to help them. Either find their way back home or get them the medical care that they need and try to find them a home. And it's just important. And it fills your heart and your soul with so much pleasure. It is the best drug in the world. I can't say it enough that what you get in return when you help an animal and get them back to safety, it makes you feel like $1 million. It really does. Yeah. So
well said.
Yeah. Well, so what else do you want? What else is on the agenda for the SPCA in the month of February? Anything besides pushing all the spaying neutering?
Well, one thing that we do have is we have a wonderful event that happens every year. And speaking of supporting spay and neuter efforts, there is our amazing, fabulous, wonderful Paws Cause. Paws Cause is usually, in non-COVID times, a really fun party. We've had it at our Jane Reese Jones Animal Care Center the last many years. And the proceeds from this amazing event go to benefit the Mary Spencer Spay, Neuter, and Wellness Clinic at Village Fair in Southern Dallas, and also support the SPCA of Texas's efforts in the wider Southern Dallas area. And so if people want to learn more about how they can support virtually, it's all virtual, and sponsorships, there are levels, all kinds of levels for people, and there's a wonderful goodie bag that comes with sponsorship. So if you want to get out there and support people who are helping animals, spaying and neutering, providing those services for underserved areas, it's a great way to get involved, and you can even come by and pick up a really fun goodie bag. So that's just, people can go to our website, spca.org, and check that out. It's February 20th, so there's still time.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that'll be great. I can't wait to talk about it more next week. I think you're on next week, but you're definitely on in the next couple of weeks. So we'll talk more about it then, and we'll promote it. Always a pleasure. Maura Davies, thank you so much. Sorry that the conversation today was a little down low. I got kind of Debbie Downer. But we need to talk about this. You can't change something unless you talk about it. It's reality.
True.
You know, I looked that dog in the eyes this morning, and it, like many other dogs, we have to clean up our act, and it starts with talking about it first, right?
Absolutely, yes. And I hope all of your precious babies feel better as soon as possible.
Well, juniors in studio. I'm like, Junior, I called my cat. Yeah. Butters is in studio with me, and Dean is outside the door. I can hear him. And, you know, Susie will get out of surgery today. And I think Marie's on the mend, too. She's starting to gain weight. So everything's good, and I thank you for saying that. But always great speaking with you. Maura Davies, everybody, check out their website, SPCA, and get involved, spca.org, and see how you can help. Hello?
Okay, all right, no worries. Thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you later. All right, everyone, you're welcome. Stay tuned, more coming up. Ryan Kane, we're going to be talking about tips for living and recovery from addiction. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Messing.
Find us on Facebook, hit like, and follow us at One Life Radio.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. We have Ryan Kane with us again. He is the president of the Spiro Group and the president and CEO of the Nashville Recovery Center, Tennessee Recovery Clinic, and N Rhythm Recovery Residences. He has been working in healthcare for almost 20 years and has been published in numerous articles and appeared on various media outlets. Ryan lives his life authentically and inspires others to have the courage to live their lives to the truest potential. Their website is NashvilleRecoveryCenter.com. Ryan, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, great to have you back. You know, I think this is such a big topic. It is. And, you know, tips for living in recovery from addiction. So many people, in fact, statistics show that 22 million Americans have at least one addiction. And so why do we have so many addicts in the U.S. and how do we compare to other countries?
That's a great question. You know, actually, the U.S. kind of, we are one of the countries with the highest rates of addicts. I think we've got just under about 6% of the population is addicted to some kind of substance. And, you know, to put that in comparison, you know, it's about 0.5% higher than like the UK. Canada's in the same range. So, I mean, we're not tremendously different than a lot of other countries, but we certainly have the highest rates of opioid use, cocaine use, and marijuana use compared to other countries. Other countries tend to have higher alcohol and tobacco rates, but the U.S. tends to dominate, especially in the opioid category. And that's really relevant because, you know, when you hear about drug overdoses and deaths associated with drugs, about 70% of the time those are opioid-related deaths. So
Wow. We
have a much higher rate of death by substance use relating to other countries because most of these are opioid deaths.
Wow. Well, you know, out of this number, you know, that you just said, only 10% receive treatment. Why is that?
Well, I think there's several reasons. You know, I think number one, a lot of people struggle identifying or admitting that there's a problem, that it's severe enough to seek help or treatment. You know, drug use, certainly alcohol use, but drug use to some extent is a social norm, you know,
and oh, absolutely.
At what point do you have a problem versus someone that's a social drinker or maybe drinks a little more than other people socially, but is not quite, you know, homeless yet or under a bridge alcoholic, you know? And I think so identifying, you know, do I have a problem severe enough to seek treatment or seek help is one piece. The second thing I would say would be the awareness, like, okay, I have a problem, but what are my next steps? What are my options? Like, what do I do? I know a lot of people, you know, I would say most people realize they have a drug or alcohol problem before they seek help. So what's taking them so long? And that's the third piece of it, which is there are significant barriers to getting help, right? There's obviously a huge cost associated with getting help. You know, it's inconvenient. So, you know, the schedule is important. When can you take 30 days out of your life and go address this? And is it a priority? You know, I mean, at what point is it going to become the thing that's the most important to you because it's impacting so many areas of your life?
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think about rehab personally? Do you think that it works? And I know there's different kinds. I actually know someone who was in rehab this past year, and at first was going to go to just a regular rehab and then found a holistic and alternative health one. And here's the thing, the insurance wouldn't pay for the alternative and holistic health rehab. Have you ever encountered that before? And why do you think that is?
Yeah, I mean, number one, it's not a one-size-fits-all, right? There's 14,000 treatment centers just in the United States alone, and they all specialize in something a little different. You know, some are designed for people going to treatment for the first time. Some of them are for chronic relapsers. Some use medication to help assist in treatment. Some do a holistic method. insurance is, it's just a familiar story in the U.S. and in healthcare in general, is insurance is nice to have, but they also don't want to pay all the time for mm-hmm. certain services. Mm-hmm. And sometimes drug and alcohol treatment gets a lot of pushback from insurance. Number one, because it's such a needed service, it's overwhelming the healthcare system right now. But number two, a lot of the outcomes are yet to be proven to the extent that insurance feels comfortable paying for it. And holistic treatment is one of those areas where it's just not well understood yet.
Well, and you know, they do things like meditation, exercise, good food, quiet time, time out in nature, you know, all these things that really do bring peace to the mind, I think, and help with an addictive personality or somebody who's just suffering and needs to just tap the brakes, you know. And you know, you say this is higher in America than any other country or and other industrial countries, but that's the key to it. Don't you think that we are so industrialized that it causes a lot of havoc in our brains, where we don't get the time to, you know, to be quiet, to be still?
Yeah, I mean, the American culture is certainly one that makes it easier for someone to need ways to cope with stress, right? Like, you know, a lot of European countries, they take 2, 3, 4 months off a year to travel, and to, you know, their company doesn't fire them, you know. They still have a job to come back to, and they have a higher production rate, and they also have a lower stress rate and subsequently lower drug abuse rates. So, you know, I think the problem is that we have a better shot of treating drug addiction than we do changing, you know, the capitalistic nature of our country, right? So mm-hmm. we've got to do a better job addressing the people that need help.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you know, in the person that I know, the insurance wouldn't pay for it, so the family had to pay for it. But it was very effective, a lot more effective, I think, for the long haul. Their success rate is something like 98%, which I think, I don't know what the statistics are for regular rehab. Do you know what the success rate is and how often they go back? Because I think it's pretty high, isn't it? Where they,
well, I think, you know, we
not the success
up in that
rate
a lot. Yeah, we get caught up in what's the success rate, and you know, the way that we describe it to parents is we need to turn it back, right? What does success look like? Does that mean that they're abstinent from drugs or alcohol for an extended period of time? Does that mean they've not using drugs and now they're employed for some amount of time, or that their wife didn't leave them? You know, there's different metrics that we have to look at. It's not just did it work or not work. That's a hard quantity to define, right? You know, so we look at different metrics as it relates to their life. So it's really a quality of life metric we look at. So is their life better after, you know, 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years? That's the data that's important, because we know addiction is not just about the physical effects it has on you. Like, this is, you know, cancer, when it attacks you, it's only hurting you, and it's tearing up your body. Now, of course, your family's impacted emotionally, and it can have a financial cost. But realistically, addiction is the only disease out there that impacts a giant circle of people in a lot of different areas of your life. And we look at, you know, legal consequences, financial consequences, relationships, certainly mm-hmm. physical damage to your body, or, you know, potentially fatal damage. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's a very complicated problem.
And it is very complicated. It is. And, you know, at the opening or at the beginning of the show, you said, your segment, you said substances, you know, but substances are not, there's other things besides substances that are addictions, you know. People get addicted to social media. People get addicted to food. People get addicted to shopping. You know, I've joked about it for years, but I mix my addictions up. So I try to keep them, you know, checks and balances. And I think a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah. You know, we have a saying that addiction migrates, and you take one away without a proper solution, an addict will find another outlet. So common ones that we see, again, if they're not really working a recovery program, but they're just abstaining from that, their drug of choice, they will typically start binge eating, whether it's fatty foods or sugary foods. So, you know, caffeine is another one. They'll start smoking. Sex is a huge one. Entering into you know, relationships with other people, shopping, gambling. Those are all called process addictions.
Yeah.
So you're replacing this drug that changes the way you feel, and there's science behind even video games or social media. It triggers the same pleasure sensor in your brain that the drug does. And that's really what an addict is chasing.
Yeah, and I would add, trading stocks to that list as well. That's gambling.
Yeah.
It's just higher stakes, higher level, white collar, you know, gambling. But it's
gambling. It's more romantic, right? It's like
an alcoholic thing.
Well, I only had a couple cocktails. I only had a couple glasses of wine.
Right.
That sounds really classy, but you skip over a lot of the nitty gritty. That is, I needed that drink. I needed that rush of trading stocks and seeing it go up and down and the adrenaline that I get from that.
Yeah, yeah. All great stuff. This conversation, I'm loving it. Everyone, you're listening to Ryan Kane on One Life Radio. We will be right back.
Listening to One Life Radio. Make sure you check out our podcast and get to know the show at oneliferadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. TGIF, you're listening to One Life Radio. I should say, you are listening. You're listening. Came out wrong. Oh my gosh, I'm so glad it's Friday. This is Bernadette with Junior, if you're just now joining us, and we have Ryan Kane in studio with us. He is the president of the Spiro Group and the president and CEO of the Nashville Recovery Center, Tennessee Recovery Clinic, and the N Rhythm Recovery Residences. He has been working in healthcare for almost 20 years and has been published in numerous articles and appeared on various media outlets. Ryan lives his life authentically and inspires others to have the courage to live their lives to their truest potential. You can find him at NashvilleRecoveryCenter.com. We're talking about tips for living in recovery from addiction. So, you know, Ryan, what are the main components of a successful addiction treatment plan?
Well, I think the first important step is just identifying all the problems, not just the obvious drug and alcohol addiction, but you know, it's the things going on behind the scenes, like, you know, anxiety or depression, you know, some kind of mood disorder like bipolar or something like that. Once you've determined the problem, then you can look at what's the appropriate level of care. And, you know, it's not a one size fits all, as we just talked about, you know, so there's residential treatment, there's outpatient treatment, there's different clinical programming, there's therapy. So, you know, you need to know what's appropriate for you. And then it needs to be a realistic plan. So it needs to be affordable. It needs to be accessible. And it needs to address, you know, multitude of needs. And then I would also say that the longer that you can stay engaged in some kind of treatment plan, the more effective it is. So, if, you know, additional resources sometimes are needed, like medication, you know, to treat some of these underlying issues. So sometimes it takes a while to get those meds dialed in to be effective. And then lastly, you probably need to have some accountability, right? So either an accountability partner or some support from family or friends, or even things like drug testing is a very effective way to stay accountable.
Yeah, and staying accountable, I believe that's important too. But, you know, so how do you define someone who has recovered from an addiction? I think it's counterintuitive when someone has to say all the time, I'm a recovering addict, you know, or I'm an alcoholic, like yeah. when they go to AA, the 12-step program. Do you think that that's helpful to just continue to, I don't know, almost label yourself or other people as such?
Yeah, you know, I personally am in recovery, and I consistently label myself as an addict and an alcoholic, and I also never label anyone else as an addict or alcoholic. I can only speak for myself, and the reason I do that, first of all, is to remind myself who I am. I don't want to mislead or lie to myself. Like, I know it's not safe for me to drink or use no matter what, and I know what the spiral that I'll go down if I pick up that first beer. I can't drink like a gentleman. I've tried it every single way there is, and it's just not worth it. You know, we talk about there's a really cool quote from I can't remember who said it, but he basically said addiction is where you give up everything for one thing, and recovery is where you give up one thing for everything. And I thought that was just beautifully said. And for me, the way I would describe recovered is starting with what is an addict, right? An addict is someone that suffers from a hopeless state of mind and body. You're just hopeless, and your body, everything is destroyed. And so in my mind, recovery means returning to kind of a normal state of health and mind and body.
Yeah,
and it's really simple, and you can drill down, well, I'm different because of XYZ, but at the end of the day, the one thing that unites us is that we come in and we're hopeless, and our lives are a mess, and recovery means I have hope again, and I've returned to normalcy.
Yeah, I love that. Everybody needs hope. We all do. You know, life is very difficult. And I know they say life is short. I think life is long. You know, I was thinking about that the other
day.
Hopefully it's long. For most people, it should be, you know. But and so you have to have patience with it. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day. And I don't think that recovery is built in a day. But, you know, they say that phrase that, oh, the addict has to hit bottom in order to change. How do you define bottom? And do you agree?
Yeah, you know, I do. I think bottom, you know, is kind of a moving target for some people. And, you know, the reason bottom's important is you just, at some point, you have to reach the point where you admit there's a problem. But more importantly, just admitting you have a problem isn't enough. The and part, and willing to take action. Right. So knowing you have a problem is not bottom. Bottom is you know you have a problem and you're willing to do something about it. Right. And so how do you know if you've hit bottom? And that's the million-dollar question. All of us have different pain thresholds, and what bottom might be for you is different for me. And, you know, some people will get pulled over by the police and they'll smell alcohol and have to do the sobriety test, and maybe they weren't arrested for DUI, but that's enough to scare them into addressing their problem.
Mm-hmm.
Other people I've worked with have had 5 or 6 DUIs, and I think, man, you would have thought after the first or second you would have done something, but we're all different. And so I always look at, when I talk to any newcomer, I always say, okay, let's look at your consequences. And they typically say, well, I really don't have any consequences. And we say, well, first of all, you're talking to a guy like me. So obviously something's going on. But, you know, your relationships, let's look at that. How are your relationships? How's your physical health? How's your mental health? You know, do you have any problems at work? Obviously, legal consequences. You know, so we look at these different categories objectively and put it on paper and say, now look at it. If you didn't drink or use, would you have any problems in these categories?
Wow. I think that's a great approach. And I have to tell you, you know, thank you for all the work that you do. I can hear just a kindness in your voice. You're very good at this. And I bet you have a high success rate helping people. So we only have about a minute. Oh, there's the music. So much for the minute. But quickly, about 20 seconds, what advice do you have for those struggling with sobriety?
Don't give up before the miracle happens. It's helped millions of people, and take action. Pick up a phone, log into a meeting, go to a meeting, and ask for help. Therapist, spouse, friend, recovery meetings. You can find help out there. There's lots of people just like me who were helped themselves, and it doesn't cost anything to ask.
All right. Thank you so much. Great to have you on again. Can't wait to talk to you again. Ryan Kane, everyone, check him out at NashvilleRecoveryCenter.com. Everyone, have a happy weekend. And Ryan, thanks again. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there this weekend and have some fun.